Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Well, guys, how many of you, now some of you here have heard my brother from another mother before, Jimmy Kellett. Raise your hand if you've heard him. Now, we've grown a lot, so you got a whole new bunch, Jimmy. He's got a whole new bunch to break in, but I love this man. We've been knowing each other now close to 20 plus years. My wife's going 22 years, and these guys came when I first came up here, brought him in. He's been back several times and hadn't had him in a few years, which he's been on me about. But anyway, but if there's ever been a prophetic voice to the church, he's a prophetic voice. He operates in the gift of prophecy. Now, don't get scared. He knows what you done last night, okay? Just kidding. Okay, no. But he's always got a word to release to the house, and from the Word of God, it'll just impact your life. And so just so honored to have him and his wife here, Kristen's here with him, and we're just honored to have those guys, and they've meant so much to me and Kim and our life, and they actually prophesied that we would have another child when we thought we would never have another child. And it's been that long since you've been here. I just now got over it. Yeah, I've had three since you've had that. I know. Two, whatever. Anyway, it's his fault. Anyway, but when he prophesied that, we're like, no, our youngest is 8 years old. We're through having kids. And I even got him back in the office. I said, dude, you did so good. Because he knows nothing about any of you here. I don't tell him anything. And he was just prophesying a few people, encourage him. And I'm like, you were like 99.999% perfect in your prophetic word, except when you told me and my wife we were going to have another child. You missed it, bro. He says, dude, I just give it like God told me. We actually didn't know it, but she was actually pregnant at the time, and we didn't have a clue. So God was preparing us. So some of you are looking real scared when he gets up here to minister already. But you know, God's got a way of his message getting to you when you need it. Amen? And so would you stand to your feet? Let's give honor where honor is due. Would you make welcome the man of the hour, full of faith and Holy Ghost power? He's our brother from another mother, Brother Jimmy Kellett. Hey, I'm just saying.
Pastor Joey, it's good to be here. Amen. It's changed a lot since last time I was here. See, they let me come to the golf tournaments, but they don't let me come to the pulpit. I don't know what's wrong with that. And in my defense, hi, Kristen. How are you? Can you all maybe get one more person on that row? We need some volunteers for the front row. You never get to sit together. But in my defense, the evening that we were praying for pastors went like this. Tom Morrison, my mentor, said, I don't think we're supposed to prophesy tonight. I think we're supposed to lay hands on people. And back then, it was a lot bigger altar area right here. Hi, Stuart, how are you guys? Right? A lot bigger altar area. And Tom says, I'll go that way, you go this way. This way had Pastors Joey and Kim in it. So I went down the line, and I'm just praying, and this is what I said. Lord, I just thank you for that baby that's within the womb. And they both looked at each other like, baby? So in my defense, I blame God. I'd like to do this before I get started. I have an awesome young lady with me who is just the apple of my eye, the one that makes my heart go pitter-patter. My lovely bride, Kristen. Kristen, I usually say Kristen Danielle. She says, what do you have to say my middle name for? I said, okay, say forget your first one. So Kristen, would you come up here with me? Do we have a mic for her, Pastor Joey? I just want her to talk a little bit about what God's doing with her. Kristen, long story, make it short. I met her through ministry. Amen. You're on. Yeah, Pastor Joey turned you on too. I'll never let him live it down. But Kristen had a woman's ministry. Kristen come out of a hard life. And then God had his sense of humor, which I could tell you the whole story, but she gets mad at me. All right. But she basically has a women's ministry, and she calls it Scars. Survivors carry a real story. And I'd just like her to just really quick talk about it.
It's an honor to be here with you today. I am so never been more hungry for the presence of God. And this is my first time here. And I said to my husband, I said, this is my kind of church. Uh-huh. Number one, Jesus is glorified. He gets all the glory.
Amen.
Number two, the presence of God is here. And number three, everyone's welcome.
Amen.
That's my kind of church. I think that's Jesus's kind of church. Amen.
Amen.
And one of the things that God had me do was to start developing trauma training manuals, because so many times in our life and in the journey, right? I love the church name here. We go through trauma, not just hard times or difficult times or dry seasons in our life where God's bringing growth, but real trauma, the kind that you say, why God, why me? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can get stuck in that if we're not careful. And so God had me start to develop manuals that could help people that are trauma survivors or working with trauma survivors. So domestic violence shelters or pregnancy centers, churches. And so we travel around and we teach people how to support and how to come alongside so that people can be healed and set free. Amen. So it's an honor to be here. God's got some good stuff. He's not through yet. Worship was phenomenal, but God's here. So God bless you.
Amen. Amen. I'll walk you off, Jared. Go quickly, will you? Amen. Amen. So I wanted her to share because she really does a... She got me teaching about scars, and you know, she said, it's women only, and then she said, babe, can you teach? Men need it too, amen? Men have trauma. Okay, enough said about that. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. It's good to be back here at Journey Church. As I said earlier, I love this place. I love supporting this place. When my schedule works out, I try to be up here every year for the golf tournament. We started... coming up here with the gang that I brought up, and we started doing our outfits, and every year we had something new. We had a really great one, and then they changed the dates on us, and I was going across the ocean somewhere, so I couldn't make it, and the rest of the guys said, if you're not going, we're not going, because, you know, we're not going to go dressed in that outfit without you, Jimmy Kellett. And so it's just good to be back here. You know, as I was praying and getting ready, can we do this? Father, we just thank you right now, Father, for the anointing that is already here. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you ushered in, Father, through our praise, Father God, the very anointing of this house, Father God. Lord, I thank you, Father, for all that are here this morning, all that are online with us, Father God, all that are behind the scenes. And Lord, I just thank you that as the word comes forth, Father God, it just doesn't touch them in their right where they're at, but it touches them, Father God, in their hearts. And then as it touches them in their heart, Father God, it opens the door for the rest of the week in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
amen.
No oh me, so I guess I can start. I'm going to start this morning on a story. And the story comes out of Birmingham, Alabama. It involves me. And I have a friend down there, Pastor Victor Hill. Pastor Joey knows him. He's been up here before. And we travel around the world together. Well, one year he said, Jimmy, I want you to come in and I want you to do the Word of the Lord service for the first of the year. So I brought a team and we prayed and we got ready and we had the word for the church. And so we go up there, and as we're there, I mean, they were in an old Baptist church that had the choir, you know, the choir loft over here. And then the worship leader was, you know, Rodney wasn't up front. He was down on the floor, right? So she was down there, and she's just worshiping, man. She's just going. And I poked one of the guys I'm with, and I said, do you think that she enjoys doing what she does? I mean, she was more animated than the rest of the team, right? And I thought, man, this is just so cool. It ended, and they all went off, and they had stage left stage right doors that went back to the fellowship hall. And so we're sitting there, and this young man gets up and does getting ready to do a mime, and he wasn't saying much, but he was doing really well. And so mimes don't talk. Okay, all right, moving right along, right? And then over on the side, and I'm sitting about where pastors are, right? Over on the side, there's a woman, and she's like this. And so I turned to the elders behind me, and I said, "I think she needs you guys." And they said, "Prophet, she don't need us. She needs you." And I went, oh, so I did the duck walk so I didn't interfere with the kid doing the mime. And I went back to her. I said, "What's up?" She said, "Pastor needs you in the back right now. Hurry." So we're walking down this hallway. And as we're walking down the hallway, this is what I hear. "Oh! Oh!" And I'm thinking, that doesn't sound good. Right? That doesn't sound normal. You know, a normal excited O is, yeah, right? But this was more like a painful O. And so I turn the corner. When I turn the corner, there's the white plastic tables. I love those nowadays, right? God forbid anybody has to ever carry a wooden 8-foot table. Amen. Anywhere. So I turn the corner, and the worship leader has got her hands on a table like this, and she's going, "Oh!" And I'm thinking, that's not, that doesn't look good. And all of a sudden, she face plants the table, I mean, with a boom, and then she hits the floor with a thud. And I thought, that is definitely not good. So I'm running back there. My mind goes to CPR training. Okay, I can do this. I know how to bring her back to life. I know how to do CPR. So I'm running back there, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to go do CPR. And I heard the Lord say this. He said, "I don't want you to do anything but to speak the breath of life. I don't want you to do anything else, but I want you to speak the breath of life." So I'm thinking, okay, I don't get to do CPR. I don't get to do all this training that I have. And he kept saying, "The breath of life." So I go back there, and I get down on my knees right next to her face, and I'm going, "The breath of life." She's not breathing, guys. The nurse has got her by the hand. She says, "There's no pulse." And I'm thinking, well, come on, God, bring somebody in here to do CPR. He said, "Speak the breath of life." And I said, "The breath of life." You know, years ago, when I first turned my life over to the Lord, I used to go down to a men's club. I didn't go in. I stood outside with a group, and we would pray against the men's club. You know, a strip club, basically, right? Yep. And while we were out there one time, the name of Jesus came up, and we were saying the name of Jesus. We were praying. We couldn't go on there proper, but we could stand on that manhole cover because it said the city of Dallas. They didn't own that. The city did, right? And so we were out there. But I had a dream that night, and in the dream, I was walking down into a downstairs warehouse, metal shelves everywhere. On the shelves were bones. And as I was walking in there, I'm going in. The bones were getting up, and they were putting themselves together and then pulling themselves apart and throwing the bones at me. And I'm dodging bones, and I hear the voice of the Lord behind me say, "Speak the name. Say my name." So that song this morning really means a lot to me. And I'm thinking, "Speak the name, say the name." Okay, what are we talking about, God? Right? I'm telling you all this because as I'm speaking the breath of life, I'm hearing Jesus. I'm hearing Jesus, right? And in the dream, I kept hearing, "Speak my name, say my name." Finally, this rocket scientist of a mind clicks. Oh, the name. That one that's above all names. Oh, Jesus, right? So I said, "Jesus," and they stopped. And I heard God say, "Say it with authority." Right. Right. Amen? Yeah. And so I'm saying, you know, "The breath of life, the breath of life, the breath of life." In that same mentality as I was in that warehouse when I said, "Jesus," with authority, there was a mighty rushing wind that came from behind me. And all these bones were gathered up on the shelf, and they were just blown out of the room. And I realized that the power that's in that name, but the power that's within the breath of life. So when I said the breath of life, she she gasped, and the nurse said, roll over. So she, and about that time, the paramedics are coming in. They're tossing these tables like they were toys. They pushed us all out of the way. We go back into the service. We do our thing. Afterwards, I looked at Pastor Victor, and I said, Victor, how's your sister? She was the worship leader. He said, she died. It's like, oh, dude, man. And about that time, his mother stood up and goes, my baby girl. Oh, my. He goes, wait, mom. She came back to life. Right? And so 2 weeks later, I'm in my office, and I get a phone call, and I don't recognize the number. I don't normally answer it, but it was a 205. And so I thought, that's Alabama. Somebody I must know up here. And I answered the phone. She said, Jimmy, this is Marcia, Victor's sister. I said, yeah, I know who you are. She says, Jimmy, can I tell you something about that day? She said, when I hit that table, I saw white. And she said, I heard the voice saying, it's your time, come home. But she said, I knew it wasn't the voice of the Lord. Amen. I knew it wasn't the voice of the Lord, but I heard the prophet say, the breath of life. And when she breathed the breath of life, she said, I knew that God had bigger plans for me, and it wasn't my time. So if you're with me this morning, and if you're spiritual at all, you'll know where I'm going, but you can turn to 37 in Ezekiel, chapter 37. I'm going to talk about the Valley of Dry Bones, but I'm going to go from a different angle. Amen? I've heard this preached all my life. Amen? In the Pentecostal church, in the Charismatic church, wherever we go. And I'm going to start with the first verse because it says this. We're talking about Ezekiel, right? The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them and all around, and behold, there was many in the open valley. Indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? Come on, guys, these are bones. This is a battle that had ensued, and they left their dead. They didn't go back and get them. They didn't go back and bury them. The animals had got a hold of them. The animals had scattered their bones. The bodies were separated, right? Everything was in disarray. And God says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, hey, only you would know, God. Right? You know, and when I started putting this together, it was during the pandemic, and I saw things in the church, and this is what I saw. I saw people going away. I saw churches closing their doors after 20 and 30 years of ministry. They're just closing their doors. They're just shutting it down. They're not opening them back up, and I believe that's where the church is right now, that we're coming out of that pandemic era. Right? We're coming into that new season. Right, guys, this is unusual to see this many people in one room this small. Still to this day, right? But thank you, God, right? But that Pastor Joey and Pastor Kim are doing the right thing. Amen. So when I look at it, there's so many of us that are out of touch. Now, I'm not a fan of Zoom. I'm not a fan of online. But when there's a necessity for it, I'm more touchy-feely, right? Even if I get COVID again, I don't care. Why? Because this is where God wants us to be. The fellowship, right? So I'm looking at this, but I'm seeing that the church dried up somewhat. They're like that valley of dry bones. They're scattered. They're scattered, guys, aren't they? They've been separated out. Rodney and Krista, is that right? I heard the Lord saying, he said, son and daughter, this is a new season that I'm bringing you into. He said, even now, as I've started to do a new, guys, I saw God's wheels starting to move in your life in a different way. I heard the Lord say, Rodney, it's time to write the music. It's, brother, you're not supposed to be doing everybody else's, but God has put a sound in the two of you that is going to come forth from this church. And he said, as that sound is coming forth, know that my hand is upon, there's an anointing on both of you. Amen. There's an anointing, and that's baby girl, right? She's a lot bigger than the last time I saw her. She was really small back then. Amen. But I just see where God is just bringing that family unit together. And he said, even in the midst of all that I'm doing, he said, know that I've got my hand on you. And he said, son and daughter, he said, as there's been a season where things didn't even jive right and it never clicked like it was supposed to, he said, I'm changing things around again. And he said, I'm shifting things in the heaven on your behalf. And he said, now is the season to look past what's in front of you and look to the future. I heard God say a change. Not that you're moving from here, but a change in the way you do things. You know, I love watches. And when you take a watch in to get it fixed, you don't take it in and say, take a sledgehammer to it because I need a new watch. You say, hey, can you fix this? And they take their precise precision tools. And God says, I'm using the precision tools on the two of you. And he said, I'm making final adjustments. And he said, that word that's within you, he said, that word that has been contained within you for such a time as this, I'm releasing it in Jesus' name. So, Father, we just thank you for him right now and all that you're doing. But why I'm in it, Trinity, I heard the Lord saying yesterday, he said, get ready. There's a season of speeding up. Things are going to go a lot faster than they ever have before because there's a new season that God has put you in. You got yourself on the track, and God said, now I'm going to turn it up. He said, and you're going to run at the pace that I have for you to run. He said, but daughter, as you're running, know this. He said that I have put a focus. There's a vision that God has given you, Trent, and that God is showing you in that vision the new things that he's doing, and you're saying, but God, why don't you show my daddy? He's the pastor. Why don't you show my mom? She's the pastor. And the Lord would say, he said, daughter, I'm giving it to you for the generation to come. And he said, daughter, don't get freaked out in it. Don't get afraid of it. But he said, if you'll press into me, he said, I'm going to pour into you. And I saw the anointing of the Lord falling on you. I saw you even in school. Don't trip, Jimmy, you'll fall. Even in school, he said, I saw you, that the anointing's going to hit you, and they're going to stop what they're doing so that God can move through you. And you're not going to be proudful. You're going to be very humble because you know it's God and not you. But God says, daughter, that dream and that vision that I have given you, he said, does my word not say that I give you the desires of your heart? He said, I'm releasing those heart's desires even now. So, Father, I thank you for Trent. Lord, I thank you for the anointing on her life. I'm sort of confused, though. So, if Trinity means three, shouldn't she have been named? Okay, never mind. All right. So, Ezekiel says, so I answered him, oh, Lord, only you know. Only you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I love that. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord, right? If you'd have played that, we'd have known we'd been in the spirit this morning, Roddy, right? But, right? Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. What does the word of the Lord do? How many have ever got a prophetic word that rocked your world, that made you step back and say, what you talking about, Willis? Right? Just made you stop for a moment and go, God, what, you see me that way? You want me to do that, God? How is that ever possible? But he says, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, right? I'm a prophet. That's what I'm called to be. I don't need a title to know who I am. I know Pastor Joey doesn't need pastor on his name to know who he is, right? But God does something when we step in and say, God, here I am, use me. And he'll say, speak to the bones. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Actually, let me read the rest of this before I jump ahead of myself. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Will Jimmy kill it? Quit touching the screen. All right. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you. And you shall live. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you. Cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. It says what? I will bring you up. So the valley of dry bones. God says, prophesy it, Ezekiel. Prophesy that these bones can live. Prophesy. How many guys, if God came to you right now and said, prophesy something like this, how many of you guys would be willing to do it? I would. I'd jump up in a minute. Yeah, there was a time I would say, but God, there's other prophets that are greater than I. Use them. Because I'm not cool at being up front giving those kind of words. But you know what? God has a plan. And God uses those that are available. I don't even have these in my notes. He says, I know what God is saying right now. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Suddenly a rattling. Could you imagine what that sounded like? Anybody ever go up into the mountains? Everybody know that for every mountaintop, there's a valley below. Right? You know, when you get to the mountaintop, remember this. You have to go back down the mountain, come up the other side of the mountain to get to the next top. Right? So, but in that valley, it's plush. It's huge. It's open. So here's this rattling noise coming forth. Can you imagine what the... Yeah, we hear that song, Dry Bones Hear the Word of the Lord, right? But can you imagine in your mind what that sounded like? It had to be deafening to Ezekiel. It had to be deafening because bones make a lot of noise. You ever watch some of these documentaries of Africa where they take the bones of the animal and they clack them together? They make a noise, amen? Suddenly a rattling, the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, amen? But there was no breath in them. And this is where I'm going today. That we can speak to things in our life and say, God, you can do it, you can do it. But until we speak in that authority of what God has, in that breath of life anointing, until we speak it out, does it start to go into effect? Ezekiel said, God said, prophesy to him. So Ezekiel says, bones, stand up, get some sinew, get some skin. And they were standing there, not moving. They can't move. There's nothing in them. You know, what did God do with the guy's name was, and he was in Genesis, and I know his name, and it'll come to me here in a minute, because I just thought of it, and now it's a fleeting thought. Amen. When Adam was in the garden, right? He said he made him out of the dust of the earth. And what did it say that God did? Breathe the breath of life. Breathe the breath of life. So many of us need a fresh wind of the Spirit. Yeah. Amen. Babe, do you have a word for pastors doing them? Because I have a word for them right now. I heard the Lord saying, he said, son and daughter, this is a new season that I'm bringing you into. And he said, son and daughter, he said, as you have prepared in every aspect of what I've asked you to do, he said, know this, son and daughter, that I'm getting ready to shift things again. And he said, but as I shift them, he said, I am causing that growth, he said, that has been held off for such a time as this. And I saw this in the Spirit, guys. I saw God putting the angels out around this place, and they were allowing certain ones in, that the few that needed to be here at that time. But then I saw God say, he said, now get out of the way because the rest of the community needs to come in. And the Lord would say, son and daughter, he said, I'm going to bring a growth to this place. And he said, you're not ready for it yet, but you've already got some things in the design mode. He said, it's time to take it off of the out of the mind, onto the paper, and into being. He said, because I'm going to shift it. And he said, as I shift it, he said, it's going to grow. And he says, think it not funny that Sundays gets busier than they are already. He said, because I'm going to cause the growth, and you're not going to be ready for it. He said, but you're going to be prepared for it. And he said, you're going to be prepared in the Spirit. You're going to be prepared in the anointing. You're going to be prepared in the people. And he said, as you have even set in those that are supposed to be set in, he said, there's a new season of setting coming again. And you guys know it. And you guys know it. And you guys know it. But God says, he said, even now, as that shifting has started, know that I'm not done with that. But I'm going to cause even greater things. This morning in worship, I felt an anointing I hadn't felt in this place before. I mean, it was tangible. You could cut it with a knife. You could reach out and grab it, open it up, and you could smell the very essence of that anointing. And the Lord would say, he said, you haven't seen anything yet. He said, you're right on the cusp of what I'm doing. And he said, I'm getting ready to shift again. Kim, there's some things that God has been speaking to you to preach. to let loose, and you've been saying, God, Joey's good at this. I'll give him my notes. And the Lord would say, daughter, he said, it's not time for Joey, but it's time for you. He said, because I'm bringing you up in a new and a fresh way. And he said, daughter, the anointing, he said, that is on you, he said, is on him, that is on your daughters. He said, that is my anointing. And he said, I have put it on you. He said, I have caused it to come together even for such a time as this. And this is what I saw in the spirit for you guys. I saw both of you guys standing separately, but I saw the anointing just permeating. Just like when you guys had the fog machines on so you could see the lights, right? Right. It wasn't overbearing, but it was just enough. But I saw God coming in like a fog and just going between the two of you. And where you guys feel like Joey's over here and Kim's over there, God's in the midst of it. And when the fog clears, you guys are going to find yourself shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm. Because God said, this is the season that I'm calling you both to the higher levels. So, Father, I just release that higher level. You have something for him? She needs your microphone. Can I get a bottle of water there? Just throw it at me. Should have thrown it at me.
I was reminded of a dream that I had once where the Lord took me into heaven, and there were angels waiting on assignment. They were waiting for their assignments, and I saw the Lord speak. I didn't see the Lord, but I saw the speaking, and the Lord said, open the windows. And when he gave the commandment, the angels were so busy to follow through with what the Lord was saying. And the Lord says, I'm getting ready to speak on your behalf. And the Lord says, I have called you the gatekeepers of this city. And God says, I'm even to place the key in y'all's hands. In y'all's hands. This is the key that he's entrusted you with. The keys to this city. And God says, and I'm releasing a new mantle. And not only a new mantle over you, but a new mantle on those that I've called to come alongside of you for the growth that's going to take place. So, Father, we release that mantle, we release that anointing, and we thank you, Father, for it right now in the name of Jesus.
And I heard the Lord saying, he said, son and daughter, get ready, because my wind is going to blow over this place. And guys, I saw it in the you know, when a wind blows, it blows everything away. I don't care how well you rake those leaves, they're gone. They're scattered again. But I saw God blowing it in, not to scatter, but to clean off so that people could see with the fresh eyes of the Spirit what God is doing in and through Journey Church. So, Father, I thank you for them right now. Lord, all that they are, Father God, in your kingdom, and Lord, all that you're getting ready for them to do in Jesus' name. And he also said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord. Oh, come from the... This is where I'm going, guys. This is my whole presence on this message. Come from the four winds. Oh, breathe and the breath on these slain that they may live. I've read that. I've heard this preached thousands of times. But when I read it that day, I said, God, what are the four winds? And my mind went to north, south, east, and west. And he said, that's not what I'm talking about in that scripture. So I started studying it out. And what it means is this, the four corners of heaven. Now let's talk about radiant pressure. We all learned this in science class, where the wind comes from. It comes from the heavenlies and comes down, right? It blows from the top and comes to the bottom. But what happens is when that radiant pressure comes together, you know, it congregates and it's forced down. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
It's forced down. It's not, right? It's not some butterfly over in Africa flapping his wings and we get a hurricane in Florida a few weeks later, right? It's not that. This is coming from the heavenlies. And God says, he said, call it forth from the four winds. So when we call it forth from the four winds, it's got an anointing on it, but it comes down with the power of that anointing. And as I was praying about what to preach coming here, I heard God say, this is Journey's message. This is Journey's message. That the wind is going to come down. It's going to be a forceful, anointed wind that is going to blow off the chaff, that's going to blow up the people. You guys might as well get ready. It's coming. It's coming. Amen. It's coming. You don't get to stop it. You can't stop a forceful wind. Guys, we just saw a hurricane come through again. This time it went up into the United States where they'd never gone before, and it came with a force. And it blew away what needed to be blown away. And God is blowing away around Eva, Alabama. And I heard God say, I saw you guys, I saw a map, and I saw you taking a pin and a string, and you measured out 50 miles, and you said, God, this is our territory. Yeah. But God said, He said, you guys didn't have long enough string because I'm going longer and farther. It's a general rule of meteorology that air flows from areas of high pressure to areas of low pressure. As this happens, air molecules at the place of high pressure build up as they get ready to push towards the lower pressure. They build up. How many of you guys know that God is doing something, but you can't tell me what it is? You know in the spirit something's happening. You know something's getting ready to break, but you can't tell me what it is. You know, I've asked prophets of the nations, what is God doing? And they can't tell me what it is. They say, He's doing something. That's pretty evident. We see that. But I want to know what's outside of what I'm seeing. I want to know what's going to happen in the future. I want to know how God's going to do it so that it shifts things in the heavenlies, that God's people will arise. And I believe it's the breath of life that God is saying that I need to speak. Amen. But not just me, you too. Amen. My responsibility is to give the word. Your responsibility is do the word. I can't do what I've spoken over these four or five people this morning. I can't do it, but I can tell them what I see God is doing. My brother right here in the brown shirt, you just looked down at your shirt. It's sort of tan brownish. Tell me your name, sir. Kyle? Father, I thank you for Kyle. Kyle, as I said that, I heard the Lord saying, He said, son, get ready, get ready, get ready. Brother, you're not too old to do what God has called you to do. You haven't been put away yet, and you haven't been put up wet, that's for sure. Amen. But I heard the Lord saying, He said, son, I'm going to shift some things in you. And He said, as I shift them in you, He said, you're going to see yourself going farther and higher than you've ever gone before with me. He said, because this is that new day. This is that new hour. He said, son, it's not a time to retire, but it's a time to refire. And guys, that's for some others in this room too. Amen. But I heard the Lord saying, He said, watch what I will do when you take the step of faith. You know, I love our God. He will bring us to the edge and He'll say, jump. He'll give you the faith to jump. But you know what? He's not like a friend that would walk up behind you and push you. So you did jump. But He'll stand behind you and say, you can do it. You can do it. Jump. And here's what I've learned when God says jump, my friend, that He will bring the ground up to meet me. He'll make a way where there is no way. And God says, even though it looks impossible, He said, know this, son. He said that I'm the God of possible. So, Father, I just thank you for Kyle right now, and I thank you for the anointings on his life in Jesus' name. Do this for me. You guys are sitting on a chair, and you got carpet under your feet. I want you to experience what radiant pressure feels like. Take your foot and just drag it back to you. Do you feel that resistance? That's radiant pressure, right? When God is getting ready to do something, we'll start to feel what He's doing. Something will start to happen. Something will start to click. Something will start to flow. And God is going to do it. And I have no idea where I'm at. There I am. When God spoke to Ezekiel and said, can these dry bones live? Ezekiel said, God, only you know. Right? Only you know, God. God, can I go into ministry, Father God? Can I start a ministry, Father God? Lord, can I step into a place, Father, where I've never gone before? Lord, can I get up on the worship team? Can I sing, God? Can I praise you, Father God? Can I, Lord, serve in this capacity? Can I serve in that capacity? God, can I do this? And God is just saying, yeah, you can do it, but you got to do it. And I believe that God is breathing a breath of life into us so that we have the courage to step forth and said, God, only you know. Only God knows, guys. Only God knows. Only God knows. And in verse 11, he said this, and he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out from the graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And when I have opened your graves, O my people, and have brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I like this last part. And I will place you in your own land. Yeah. Yeah. Father, I thank you for our land. Father, I thank you for Eva, Alabama. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing right now. Lord, I thank you for the wind of the spirits that's getting ready to blow over this place. Lord, I thank you for the breath of life, Father God, that is coming from the four corners of heaven. That is, Lord, I just thank you for the anointing that's already here, that's settled into this place, Father God. Lord, that it's here, Father God, because we're here. Lord, because we came in, Father God. Lord, that you have acquainted us with your power. And Lord, you want us to know the power of the Holy Ghost. You want us to know the power of the Word. Lord, you want us to know the power of the breath of life. Lord, when we speak it forth, Father God, into our own lives. Lord, into our own passions. Into our own anointings, Father God. Lord, all that you have. All that you have for each one of us here, Father God. Lord, there's nothing that says we all don't have because we haven't asked. Is the only reason we don't have it. But Lord, I thank you that you're anointing us. Father, I thank you for the power of your Spirit. Ah, Father, the shifting, Father God, that it does to get us out of our molly grubs, Father God, to get us out of, oh, that's pastor's job, that's Rodney's job, that's so-and-so's job, that's everybody else's job, it's not my job, God, I'm here to worship you. Yeah, Lord, we're here to worship you, but you've got more for us to worship you in. I thank you, Father God, right now, for all that you're doing here at Journey Church. I thank you, Father God, for the anointings you put upon this family. Father God, as they came in here, Father God, as young, Father, and just full of it, Father God, full of themselves, but Father, that you have taught them and you have brought them, Father God, Lord, that they have spoke out the things that you have had for them to speak, Father God. I thank you for them, Father. John 20, 19, 22 says this, and when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, Pastor George, Pastor Kim, I want to lay hands on you guys. And the door had been shut where the disciples were because of fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace to you. And when he said, he had said this, he showed his hands and his side to them. Then the disciples rejoiced when they knew they saw Jesus, saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Father, I thank you for the breath. Guys, there's an anointing in this house today. And this is anointing not for me to feel or to know, but for you. That Jesus came in today through worship and started breathing on us. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And God is breathing forth some visions and some dreams. Jesus said it, right? And he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Didn't say anything else, just receive the Holy Spirit. That's all we have to have. We've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We've already got him. We just need to get him activated. But I know that God activated things in people this morning. I could feel it in the spirit. that as I was preaching, as I was talking about the breath of life, some of you guys need to just take a deep breath. Father, the breath of life, the breath of life, the breath of life, the breath of life, the breath of life. Sora sata yaraba. Come on, babe. Sora baba. Father, I thank you for the anointing. Lord, I thank you for the anointings that are already here. Lord, we lay anointed hands. Yes, there it is.
You, thank you for those hands.
Sora sata yaraba. Thank you, Jesus. The breath of life, Father God, over Pastor Joey and Pastor Kim. The breath of life, Father God, in their spirit, Father God. In their spirit, Father God. Babe, put your spirit, hand on her spirit, man.
Thank you, Father.
Lord, I thank you, Father, for what you're doing right now. It's already multiplied.
Yes.
Pour it in, Father God. More, Lord. More, Lord.
Yes.
More, Lord.
Yes. Thank you.
More, Lord. Father, I just command the breath of life to breathe, Lord, into them. Lord, that they, even as they pull forth from their nostrils, Father God, that they feel the spirit of you, Father God, permeating them. But more than that, Father God, for the fire of your anointing. Because, Father, without wind, there's no fire. Without wind, Father God, there's no fire. So we speak now, Father God, that the fires will light bright.
Yes, God. Thank you.
Lord, that they'll burn eternally, Father God. Not only in them, but in the house, Father God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
You have something?
I do.
Okay. Joey's got the microphone again.
And this baby in the womb is called vision.
Okay, we'll take that one. we'll take that one.
Amen. Amen. When I was praying for you guys, I don't need to have both of them. This is what I saw. I was a Boy Scout. I did Order of the Arrow. I got all the way up as far as you could go. But I had to tend the fire, the eternal flame. And the night I had to tend it, it rained cats and dogs up in the mountains of Arizona. And I didn't know how to keep that fire lit. I didn't know how to keep it covered. But it's like God came in and covered it. And I saw when I was praying for you, that fire that has been shut up in your bones, that God had covered it. And with all the wind and all the hail and all the rain that has been coming and all the stuff that's been coming against you guys, I saw God covering it. But when I was praying for you and I spoke the breath of life and the fire of the anointing, I saw God take the cover off because he said it's not burning bright enough. But it's a season to burn brighter. So, Father, I thank you for what you're doing in pastors and all that you have for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.